Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pull up a stool and join us. 585-866-4FAN. 866-4326. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
Sabres made a move in their front office. Let's learn more about Jarmo Kekäläinen. Joe Yurden, Bleacher Report, noted hockey. Always love talking to NHL and talking Sabres with our buddy Joe. All right, Joe, so we kind of know the resume. This guy has been a GM and with a pretty good degree of success in the NHL in this senior advisor role, and with it being released on a Friday, I don't know, we're just kind of connecting dots, wondering, like, is Kekäläinen next in line? Should this season not go well, or this offseason not go well for the Sabres?
Well, that's going to be... I think that's the first thought on everybody's mind, honestly, with a hire like this, with a guy that's got that kind of resume. It's going to be very hard to not think that that's the case. But in reality, for the Sabres, this is about getting somebody who's kind of been around the bend, who's got more of that, you know, more NHL connections, more of a background in the league to kind of, you know, help out, make things a little bit easier to handle, because, you know, Adams hasn't had that. You know, I know he's been in the job for 5 years and whatnot, but, you know, it's been a very kind of insular situation in Buffalo. And, you know, when a lot of that is just kind of, you know, everybody's come from within the organization in different ways, and, you know, the guys that Adams have brought in have been his guys and whatnot. So you're branching out a little bit. You're getting a voice from outside of the organization. You're getting somebody who's got a different set of eyes and a guy who's been there and a guy who's done this, who's been in that job, who's been in that seat before, who knows the ins and outs and, you know, and has a long record, you know, to his name. So to me, it's about kind of like expanding horizons. And yeah, it's going to be very unavoidable to think that if things get sideways next season and things get bad, that, you know, if a move's made, that Yarmo's going to be assuming that role. And I think that conversation was going to happen regardless of who was hired for that position. You know, you look at some of the other guys they talked to, Ken Holland, Lou Lamoriello, like that discussion was going to happen no matter what.
Yeah. Joe, I would love to hear a press conference with Kekäläinen just to know, okay, what exactly are your day-to-day responsibilities? Because you hear the title senior advisor, and look, I think we would all aspire to be the consultant, right? The retired guy that sits on a board, or you're just going to come in, I'm going to tell you what to do, and I'm not going to do any heavy lifting. This doesn't feel like this. I mean, for example, is Kekäläinen, like, I would think his first order of business is just to be, hey, like, actually, from your standpoint, evaluate what's going on. How would you fix this?
I do wonder if part of that is going to be involved, but I think a lot of what's going to go on with this role is that, you know, this is, you know, Adams is the guy in charge, and, you know, the staff is there and in place, and, you know, Yarmo's going to be there because, you know, he's got his own, you know, wealth of connections. He's got his own wealth of knowledge and insight as to what the job is about. And, you know, he's got his own record of, you know, when it comes to the draft, when it comes to evaluating free agents, all this kind of stuff. It's good to have another set of eyes and another mind about how the job is and you know, what goes into this and player evaluation too. So I don't think it's so much that he's coming in as, you know, like the office space consultants where he's coming in, he's going to talk to everybody and then decide who stays and who goes. I don't think it's going to be quite like that, but it's bringing somebody who knows what it's all about and who's a very smart guy about hockey and about the business, about everything, to kind of just, you know, sort of ground everything, because you can, you know, sometimes when you've got a staff that's been together for this long, sometimes you get a little guilty of navel gazing. And I think Yarmo's got to be good for, you know, maybe presenting some different ideas and different looks to things.
Joe, I'm curious about how this all went down, because we've seen them make a couple of moves here with Staal and now with Kekalainen. And I'm curious if this was Adams asking for help, or if this was because we heard when Adams became the GM, it was because Terry wanted to be heard, for lack of a better way of putting it. And Adams is a guy who will listen to what Terry has to say. We also know that there's a guy in here now in Pete Guelli who probably doesn't have a ton to do with all of the decisions of running these organizations, but I wouldn't say it's a zero. And Kevin Adams wasn't hired when Pete Guelli was part of the organization. So I guess Guelli is a guy that I'm kind of curious about as far as what his involvement might be in his relationship with Terry Pegula, and which direction did this go? Did this come from Terry on down, or do you think this was Kevin saying, hey, throw me a line here and give me some resources?
I tend to believe it's a little bit of both. From Terry and from Kevin, because, you know, I think it was Kevin who mentioned that to us at the end of the year press conference that, you know, we're going to look for, you know, some other ideas here and, you know, maybe get things to be a little bit different, when it comes to evaluating everything and looking at everything, because let's face it, when it's 5 years out of the playoffs and you've been in the job, the choice is either, well, maybe we got to take a peek around and see what else is going on, or you're getting the pink slip and you're out and somebody else is going to get to do the job. So, in that respect, I think it's better to, you know, it's certainly better for Kevin to get some guys in there that can provide another set of eyes and people that he trusts. You know, obviously he knows Eric Staal well from, you know, they were teammates together. You know, he traded for him a few years ago, to be in Buffalo. Granted, you know, I don't think anybody will look back fondly on that time, but, Eric included, but in this case, it's, you know, it's something where it's like, it's either, you know, either find a new way to do things or we'll find other people to find a new way to do things. And yeah, the whole part about Kevin being hired because, you know, Pegula felt like they weren't being listened to. I mean, that's, you know, that's that time was a little different because that was, you know, peak pandemic and, you know, nobody knew what was going to happen. You know, the ownership was very concerned about money and whatnot. So, you know, if they had ideas of like, hey, you know, we want to do this. And Jason Botterill was like, no, I don't think that's a good idea. And then they were like, well, we're the owners. What we say goes. So if you don't want to do that, then see you later, bud. And that's more or less what happened. But I think in this case, it's something where it's a little bit of self-preservation, but it's also just, you know, trying to do what's right to fix what's going on here. I think that's the bigger part of it.
Joe Yurden, Bleacher Report, noted hockey, joining us. Joe, life moves fast, as you know. It was this time only 5 days ago that, hey, we're getting ready here for Game 5 up in suburban Montreal, talking about the Amerks there. Amerks season is over, and when you look at the Amerks season, I mean, your thoughts on that, and I guess the headline story here is Devin Levi, because Joe, I can't tell you definitively if he's going to be, you know, up with the Sabre organization day one based on what we saw here this postseason.
Yeah, it's wild how things change, isn't it? You know, that the opening series against Syracuse was, you know, the best that we've seen of Devin Levi. I mean, you know, he pitches a couple of shutouts, was on an unbelievable tear going into it. But, you know, I wonder what the view is that you have to take, considering there's 2 weeks off between the end of that series and the start up against Laval. And, you know, goaltending is a lot about rhythm. And I do wonder if there's going to be part of that's going to be part of the discussion of how you evaluate how that turned out, because, you know, two of the last three games against Laval did not look good for Devin. But, and, you know, I think myself included, we were expecting to see the absolute best of them going, you know, playing on home ice and, you know, being in the playoffs, and he loves this big spotlight and everything. But I mean, there's also the part of it where Laval was the best team in the AHL this year. And, you know, there's a lot to take away from that as well, because you have to, you know, it's the different lenses you got to look at everything here. But when it comes to Devin and, you know, is he in Buffalo next year? Is he not? You know, it's so tough for the Sabres to have to, you know, seemingly every other year have to ask a lot of questions about, like, what the goaltending situation is going to be for the organization, you know, year to year and whatnot. Cause, you know, we were having these discussions a couple of years ago when Devin was signed and, you know, almost got the team to the postseason. And then, you know, you're asking, like, well, okay, is Devin the guy? Is it, you know, is Luukkonen still going to be around? Like, what's going on there? And then, you know, Luukkonen took the job back, played great last season and, you know, and all that. And then this year was a lot tougher because, you know, for 100 different reasons. Yeah. But you look at how Devin performed against Laval, and it was, you know, there was some really good, there was a couple of really good outings, but there the few that, you know, I think even he would love a do-over on and want to have another shot at trying to do better there. But I think you have to look at the body of work of how Devin performed in the AHL and then, you know, and start and look at how he performed in the NHL when he had his opportunities and decide, like, is now the time for him? Cause they've been eager to try to step on the gas and to get him into the NHL. And it just hasn't been right yet. And if the plan is to go into next season with Luukkonen and Levi, I think you're playing with fire, because you got to know how Lukanen's going to bounce back. I think Luukkonen's going to be a lot better because he's going to be very angry and motivated. And I think, you know, in Levi's case, he wants it. He wants the NHL bad, and it's up to him to be focused enough to be able to do it all the time. But, you know, you're asking a couple of young goalies to split time, and, you know, Lindy doesn't like to mess around too much. If a guy gets hot, he's got to keep playing him.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe, you talk about angry goaltenders. I think we have one in Dallas, Jake Oettinger, getting pulled last night. Pete DeBoer, you know, very icy with his star goaltender. What do you think the future is for Oettinger? Do you think this is just high emotion in a volatile moment and this will blow over and he'll be fine long term? Or is there something more sinister at play here? Could Oettinger be somebody that DeBoer has just seen enough of?
You know, I was really curious to what Pete was going to say following that game, given that, you know, he pulls him after
he didn't hold back,
giving up goals in the first two shots, and then pulls him and it rides with Casey to Smith for the rest of the game. And Casey didn't, you know, every time Dallas got within a goal, it was they were giving one right back. And Pete didn't hold back. And he basically said, this, you know, Jake's been bad against Edmonton for what, six games in a row now, or seven games going back to last playoffs. And he's like, well, time for another look. Well, I don't know. I think I'd rather consult with Jim Nill about that than I would Pete DeBoer, honestly, because, you know, Ottinger's been one of the best goaltenders in the NHL, period, the last, like, three, 4 years. And now you're trying to tell me, and you're trying to tell everybody that, well, he ain't got it against Edmonton because, you know, the results are the results. And, I mean, at that point, if I'm Nill, I'm asking, like, well, Pete, do you want to coach here or do you not? Because if it's between player who has been outstanding and coach who seems to wear out his welcome everywhere he goes, I'm starting to wonder, is this it for Pete? Because
interesting,
you know, it's the sort of thing where you're like, you know, I don't know, man, like elite goalies are hard to find. They're really hard to find. And Ottinger's one of them. And if you're going to run them out, you know, if you're going to throw them under the bus like that after a series where your whole team didn't really play all that great, you know, I mean, blame it on the, you know, having to who they had to play in the first two rounds, do whatever you want. You know, you got to play Colorado and you got to play Winnipeg back to back. Like, okay. But I don't know, man, like it's crazy. It's crazy to me to take your all-star top goalie, top five goalie in the NHL and just be like, yeah, no, he's the reason why we lost. Like, I don't know, man, stop taking penalties. Stop putting the best power play in the NHL. You know, one of the best power plays that's been in the NHL the last 4 years out on the ice constantly, you know, it was just reckless play from Dallas up and down and just keep throwing it on the goal. Yeah. Goalie's got to make some saves now and again, but geez, you know, Leon Draisaitl can score from minus degrees, you know, below the goal line with a one timer. I mean, it's stupid to keep giving these guys chances, and they kept doing it, and then saying like, well, geez, Jake, we need a save. Like, well, I don't know, man, go score some goals.
Well, now we get the rematch here, Edmonton and Florida, and this time around it'll be a little different, seeing that Edmonton's got the home ice here. Should it go to game six or seven? So, your initial thought here, could this be any different? Because I don't know, both these teams kind of going into the Stanley Cup final on a roll here, Joe.
Yeah, it's, you know, I wrote up my Cup final prediction, which will be up on Bleacher Report here probably in a few days, but. It got me thinking back to the last few times we've seen teams face each other back-to-back years. Obviously, 08, 09, Detroit and Pittsburgh did it. And it was, you know, Sidney Crosby coming up short in 08. And it was, you know, it was like, ah, well, he's going to get his at one point. And then he got his the next year. And, you know, Detroit had their chances to beat him 2 years in a row and then blew it in 09. But I think back to, like, granted, I wasn't really – I was not old enough to be paying attention to this back then, but Islanders Oilers, you know, it was dynasty passing the torch to the next dynasty. You know, the Islanders sweep them in 84. The Oilers come back right the next year, beat them in five, and then, you know, went on and were beasts for the rest of the 80s. And you think, like, you give great players a chance, you know, two times in a row to finally get over the hump and win a cup. You think, like, well, they got to take it, right? But Florida, man, Florida's in their prime too. You know, like those Isles and those Wings teams were old. This Florida team is not old. Like, you know, maybe Bob's the oldest guy on the ice, but like the talent level and, you know, listen, I know McDavid won the Conn Smythe last year. He was awesome all playoffs. Barkov had his number in the finals, and I don't know that got paid attention to closely enough just because of how gaudy McDavid's numbers were, but Barkov shut him down, and Barkov looks incredible again. And, you know, they've got the troll game down. They've got all this stuff. They play nasty. They've been evil in the playoffs ever since they beat Toronto in game three, came back to beat them in game three. It's really hard to say no to Florida because they've looked more the part of a cup winning team that I think Edmonton has. And that's not to take anything away from Edmonton. They've been incredible since game three against LA, and Skinner's been a completely different player in goal for them. But I mean, I know, to be the man, you got to beat the man, and Florida really looks like the man.
Yeah. And Joe, I was going to say, what do you think the likelihood is Florida hoisting the cup and McDavid's ignoring the Conn Smythe for a second year in a row, that we have the exact same output as we had last year at this time?
You know, I haven't looked closely enough at McDavid's numbers or Drysdale's numbers, but
we're close.
I think it's still really gaudy, but I mean, I think Skinner's getting a lot more attention. I think that's rightfully so, because he's been awesome since he took the starting job back in the LA series. I think he's worthy of a lot of the attention. But gee whiz, man, Barkov has been incredible. And even, you know, as much as people hate it, Bennett's been awesome too, even though he's played as dirty as they get. 11 goals in the playoffs. He's been great too. But geez, I mean, Barkov's like a silent assassin, man. He shuts you down and then he kills you. I mean, that pass he makes to Verhaeghe in game five against Carolina, or game five, was just like, oh, okay, all right. That's the respect given to Barkov and what he can do. And then, you know, Verhaeghe's just there for the put away. You know, it's really tough. I'm glad I'm not, I would love to be a Conn Smythe voter at some point in my career, but I'm really glad I'm not one of them this year.
Joe, one of the things that's being discussed, six straight years now with a team based in Florida representing the Eastern Conference. Are you buying into the NHL should take a look at this, that these two franchises, because of the state taxes, have an unfair advantage?
You know, we're the Nashville Predators right now, you know? They have the same advantage, and they've made big moves, and they're not getting it done. Yeah, Vegas has, but Vegas also has, you know, they have management that will try to win no matter what. Like, they don't care about the future. The future is right now, and they're going to push in no matter what. Like, I wouldn't be shocked to see, like, Mitch Marner wind up in Vegas next year. Like, sign him with Vegas over the summer, because why not, right? I get that it's an advantage. It's obviously an advantage, and like it works mostly against the Canadian teams, because the Canadian taxes are much higher. But there's so many factors at play when guys want to sign up for teams. I mean, you know, like Florida got Tkachuk in a trade, you know, after they signed a guy to a big contract, and then they, you know, dumped that guy with a big contract off to Calgary. Tampa Bay is good because they've had great management their entire run here for like 15, 20 years. You know, having good management it works wonders when you've got a slight advantage when it comes to the taxes. Yeah, I know it works in a lot more take-home money, but I don't know. I think if you put a team with really bad management in a place that has that advantage, I don't think you have to worry about that team, honestly. Because they're not going to be able to, if you're not picking the right guys and you're just signing the wrong guys to big money and because they get paid, then you're not going to win. Having the right coaches, having the right management is such a bigger difference than anything else. And honestly, if you got a team that wins, that sells everything even more. You know, LA didn't have a problem bringing guys in when they were winning cups. You know, Chicago, same thing. Like, it's easy when you got the guys and you win, like, because then everybody wants to play for you.
And Joe, I'm curious about this too, if this is a factor or not. Being that you're in the media and you're covering not just, you know, our local teams, but also you're covering the NHL, does a lack of media in some of these markets or a lack of fan scrutiny in some of these markets actually work out to be a positive? I mean, let's face it, if you're in Vegas, there's a lot going on, and you know the Knights are kind of like a sideshow, and a lot of those guys could probably walk around and not get recognized. Certainly, in a market like Tampa or in Miami, I would imagine that there's a little bit less fan scrutiny than there is certainly in a Buffalo or a Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that helps too. I asked Paul Maurice about that after they knocked out the Leafs. Asked the question in a way where I said, is there a point where because he coached with and against the Leafs in the past, is there a point where, you know, you got them? And he's like, no, there's no point. But he pointed out how, like, in Toronto, like, what's great for the league is bad for Toronto, because it's the attention, it's the money they generate, all that stuff, because, you know, Toronto kind of helps prop up the league. But yeah, the attention's a lot, but I don't know, the pressure to win exists everywhere. And, you know, not having to answer questions about it, I mean, sure, I guess that makes the day-to-day easier, but you know, you still got to deal with your coaches. The coaches are more scrutinizing and a lot tougher on you than you know anybody in the media is. And you know, granted, what coaches tell you doesn't wind up on websites or you know TikTok or Instagram or whatever. Like that doesn't end up there. But you know, it's the pressure comes from within. And like honestly, if the attention that comes from answering a few questions is too much, then like I don't know if you got it. Period. You know, because if you can deal with all the stuff on the ice and like a couple of questions is what throws you off your game, I'm sorry, man. Like there's another problem at hand in that case. But sure, does it make life easier? I'm sure it does. But like I don't know. I don't buy that a guy's got these big tough guys and. You know, serious competitors can't handle media attention or fans, you know, stopping them. Like, okay, man, like, I don't know, you're an elite star athlete. You're going to get paid attention to no matter what. Like, is it easier when the sun's out all year and you can go play golf everywhere? Yeah, I bet it is. Like, everybody's distracted, but, you know, I don't know. It's part and parcel with the job. Like, everything is part of the deal. And, you know, I guess if you want it easier, sure, okay, but I don't know. I don't buy that as distractions. I buy that as that's excuse making.
Maybe just move the NHL season to like now. Wouldn't that help us? Like it's outside right now. You can sell anybody here in Western New York. Beautiful out, Joe. Joe Yurden, Bleacher Report, noted hockey. You mentioned you've got the preview that's coming up here in a few days. What else can we check out, Joe?
Yeah, we got the draft combine starting next week, so we're gonna have a lot of stuff going on about that. I'll have some looks into who the Sabres should be taking a look at with that first pick, or should they keep the pick? Should they keep their first round pick? We'll get into that stuff. Cup final begins on what, the 3rd, I think. So, yeah, I mean this is the last roundup before we gear up for the draft, and then everybody goes home for the summer. So yeah, it should be fun.
Joe, enjoy your weekend. Thanks as always for the time. We'll be checking out your work at Bleacher Report and Noted Hockey. Appreciate it, buddy.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks again for having me.
No problem. Thanks, Joe Yurden, read his work at Bleacher Report covering the NHL, Noted Hockey, talking about the Sabres and their hire of Jarmo Kekäläinen, the front office there, now a senior advisor for the Buffalo Sabres.
Well, a team that was not interesting got a little interesting with this hire.
The Sabres.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, this move is more of a needle mover than hiring Eric Staal, for sure. There's no question about it. So, and I think that the timing of it is a little curious. I think doing this on a Friday is something as well. Doing it on a Friday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so interesting times. In Saberland. We'll talk more about that here throughout the course of the afternoon. Next hour, we go to Pittsburgh and check in with Chris Mack. You can hear him on the BetMGM network. Our favorite Yinzer, Steelers OTAs wrapping up. And as far as we've seen, no sign of Aaron Rodgers, no contract for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it's got to be playing real well in Pittsburgh, I would imagine, at this point. There is a prominent NFL media figure who's making a prediction that I think most people are like, no, that wouldn't happen. I'm going to tell you why I think there's nothing the fans have to worry about.
All right, we'll get to that and more next. We have time for your calls as well if you want to pull up a stool and join us in the sports bar. 585-866-4FAN is our phone number. 866-4326.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.